downstairs, so you guys can go downstairs if you're in a Sunday school class. Interesting piece on the radio yesterday asking people if you could ask one person for forgiveness, who would you ask? And one man who must have been in his middle age started to talk about how he wished he'd had a chance to ask his dad to forgive him for some things that happened in their relationship. And this man was probably, as I say, in his 50s, judging from his voice. And as he talked about that, you know, man on the street kind of interview, his voice broke. And he longed to be able to talk to his dad and ask for forgiveness. If I was going to put something in that category, I think I've shared before about a boy I knew. His name was John. And I got to know John through being a part of the Scouts program at a local school gymnasium. And John was one of those boys who was just a little bit different from the rest of us in that scout troop. And I've learned that girls can be cruel in one way, and boys can be cruel in their own way too. And those of us who were sort of the inside group at this scout thing really began to pick on John. And we would do it in subtle ways when the leaders were around us, but most mercilessly, we bullied this young guy when Scouts was over. And during the good weather, they would let us out of the school, and we would be kind of hanging around the building, and we would gang up on John. And I can remember throwing rocks at this guy and thinking that that was just the greatest end to the evening almost, or at least being caught up in the moment. I had an interesting experience that some of you, as I said, I may have shared this story and you might know, that many years later I was in my youth group at church, and lo and behold, there was this guy, John, invited by another friend. And I just thought to myself, oh, I hope John forgets me, that it was long enough ago that he won't know that it was me. But John remembered. And John actually came straight to me after the formal part of our meeting was over, and he said to me, why? Well, what he asked me first was, have you come to this? How long have you been coming to this church? And I said, I've been here my whole life. And then he asked me, why did you do that to me when I was in Scouts? Why were you so cruel to me? And of course, I apologized and said, I don't know why. That was wrong. But when I think about longing to know that I'm forgiven for something that was so wrong and so cruel and so painful, that's what comes to my mind. And I don't know what comes to yours. Maybe there's a person who you hurt as a child. Maybe there's someone that you wish you could go back to for something that you even said this week. We all need to be forgiven. And as much as John has actually graciously forgiven me, there's even a deeper sense inside my heart that I broke something. I violated something that wasn't just about John. It wasn't just that he needed to forgive me, but I didn't behave the way that we're supposed to behave as people. And I need forgiveness beyond just the kind that John can offer to me. I need the kind of forgiveness that my Creator can offer me. I need to know that the God who made me and intended that I would live differently has forgiven me for the way that I lived and behaved. Not just with John Millett, but in many other ways. You know, as we think about things that we would like to be forgiven for, that we long to be forgiven for, there's also another category of pain in our lives. There are those things that have happened to us that we wish we could break the power of that evil action that's hurt us. When I thought along those lines, for me personally, I also found myself thinking about elementary school. When I was in elementary school, I had an older brother, 3 years older than me. And again, Graham didn't fit in at school the way that I was able to fit in at school. He didn't fit in with the friends on our street the way that I was able to fit in. Graham was never good at sports, and that was a killer in elementary school. If you weren't good at sports, people just figured that out about you. And he was super bright, so he was always doing well in classes, and that tended to kind of get him in trouble with people who were inclined to bully him as well. And I can remember on more than one occasion being on my way home from school. Sorry. Being on my way home from school and watching my brother being beaten up or attacked by some guys who were way stronger than me. So I would be in grade 3 and Graham would be in grade 6 or something. I'd be in grade 2 and Graham would be in grade 5. And I felt so angry, but also totally powerless. And what those other kids did to my brother, interestingly, exactly the same sort of stuff that I know I'm guilty of, was so wrong and was so painful for him, for me. And what we need when things happen to us that are sinful, that are wrong, that are not the way that God desires for his creation to behave, we need to know that the power of that sin has been broken. We need to know that it's been defeated. We need to know that we can be healed, not just from those, not just forgiven for those things that we have done, but also healed for those wrong things that have been done to us. Those are stories from my life, and I share them only because I have a suspicion that many of you would be able to relate to the idea of wanting to be forgiven, knowing that you've done something that wasn't the way you were supposed to behave. And it's done. What can you do? You can't take it back. Or you've been injured and you can think, what can I do? There's an amazing verse as Paul writes to the Corinthians that says that Jesus became sin for us. And I don't think for as long as I live I'll ever understand what that verse really means. It means something about him standing in the position of a guilty party. It means him taking our place as the one who would receive the punishment that sin deserves so that justice could be satisfied and we could be forgiven. It also means that, to me, something about Jesus taking into himself all of the ugliness, all of the blackness and the power of sin and breaking it for us. Breaking it so that we can be forgiven. Breaking it so that we can be set free from its power. Jesus gave his body to be abused and to be crucified so that we could be forgiven and so that we could be set free from sin. Jesus shed his blood and actually allowed life to drain out of his body so that we could be set free from the death of sin and have a new life in him. And Jesus never wanted us to forget that there is a way for us to be forgiven for those things that we know we've done wrong. And he never wanted us to forget that the power of sin, as deeply as it may injure us in this life, has been defeated by his death and resurrection. And so, on the very night that he was betrayed, standing or sitting around with a bunch of guys who would be running in the opposite direction away from him, people who would deny knowing him and betray him unto death, he took bread, broke it, and said, "This is my body, and it's for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me. Don't ever forget that I gave myself so that sin could be forgiven, so that you could be free from its power, so that you could have a new life in me." And after supper, in the same manner, he took the cup and said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood." In other words, by my blood, you can become children of God. Not just children by his creation, but children by his adoption. You can belong to God because my blood was shed for you. And here we have the opportunity to remember again that there is forgiveness for us because of what Jesus did. And there is victory over sin and death because of what Jesus did. And so as the music plays, I'm going to invite you to come and let's celebrate together that sin has been forgiven because of Jesus, that death has been defeated because of Jesus. And once you have the elements and have returned to your seat, I'll come back and lead us in a time of prayer. But we invite you now to come. Lord Jesus, it's not difficult for us to think of things that we know we need forgiveness for. It's not difficult for us to recall ways in which we've been hurt by the sins of others. And we know that these are the problem of sin is something that we could never solve. It's something that's in our nature. And we need a Savior. We need a rescuer. And we thank you, Jesus, that you willingly humbled yourself and became a man, and even then obedient unto death, even death on the cross. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for rescuing us. We thank you for making a way so that we could be forgiven and set free from the power of sin that works in our hearts. Thank you that you died so that there could be healing. Spiritual healing from the injury even that we have incurred because of sin. We thank you for your body that you willingly gave for us and for your blood that was shed. Mark us as people who know that you have rescued us and that we have new life in you, we pray. We pray this for your glory. Amen. Let's partake together.